Good afternoon and welcome into another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're having a great day. If you were watching CBS just a few minutes ago, you saw Major League Fishing World Championship tournament between, I think it was, let's see, Skeet Reese, Mike Iaconelli, Andy Montgomery, and Greg Hackney. And got to congratulate Greg Hackney. He won it. Andy finished third. I was sitting here texting with Andy a second ago. And I said, third place, not first, but congratulations on a great season. He has good and overall picture, but sucks to be that close. Just made a couple of bad decisions. I said, how do you know they're bad decisions? And he said, yeah, you know, the fish were really shallow. Looking back on it, there were a couple of clues I missed that told me where they were, but I didn't listen. Live and learn. So, yeah, congratulations, Andy. As he's always next year, I guess. It's not what you want to hear. You want to be first all the time, right? Because you're second, you're last. Isn't that what Ricky Bobby said? So, anyway. And I hate to start off the show with this, but has anybody looked at the long-term weather forecast for around here? It looks really good. Now, I don't put any faith in this long-term weather predictions, but, you know, I pulled it up because I got some travel plans coming up, and I was looking. I was like, wow. And we're talking like 80 to 83 in the upstate, 80 to 88 to 90 in the Midlands, and like 85 or so in around Charleston. Once you get into next week, still got to get through this weekend. But you know, middle part of next week and on out for like 7 days, it's supposed to be really nice. If you put any stock in what they say in long-term forecasts. So I'll leave that up to you. And we all know how I feel about it. Okay. I got to get this out of the way too. And birthdays. This is birthday weekend. Well, see, I guess they're, I can't say that either. Okay, two of the most important women in my life have birthdays this week. My mom turned, I can't say how old she is, but she turned 39 again on Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday. And my wife turned 39 again yesterday. So, happy birthday. I took my mom some sheep's head fillets. And it, wouldn't you know, for her, she wants to cook for us. So we all went over there last Sunday morning, and she cooked breakfast for us. That's what she wanted to do for her birthday. So I took her some sheep's head fillets. They had some last night, so they're really good. I'm going to have some sooner or later. And I got to go home and get on the grill tonight because my wife wants cheeseburgers and french fries. And so, you know, you're saying, what's so special? Well, I do make a pretty good cheeseburger and hand-cut french fries, deep-fried with sea salt on them. Well, they're just good. Not quite McDonald's, I don't guess, but they're good. You're just not going to beat a McDonald's french fry. I'm sorry. Just not going to happen. But so anyway, happy birthday to those two. Like I said, I guess mom got me through the first 25 years, and then they teamed up on me, and they've got me through the last 26 years. So thank you, ladies, and happy birthday. If you know who Dr. Grant Woods is, and he's been on the show a few times, he was on just a few weeks ago, and we've got plans to have him back on. They did a Facebook Live last Tuesday morning, and he was sitting there on the deck of his house, which is kind of, it's not where they normally broadcast from, but he spent 15 or 20 seconds talking about how dry it was in Missouri, if you listen to Grant, and then he proceeded to tell us that, you know, he's a kidney transplant patient, and that his kidney was failing. And from what I understand, it was failing pretty quickly, and he wasn't going to last, 4 years on a waiting list most of the time? Or so, I read somewhere that it was 4 years for a kidney transplant. And he said, frankly, I don't have that much time. And his wife was not a match, but his 19-year-old daughter, Raleigh. Now, he's talked about Raleigh on this show before. She shoots high school sporting clays. She fishes. She hunts. She's a great photographer. If you want to check out some of her photography, you can go on Instagram and find her. She's a match. And so yesterday morning, Raleigh Woods donated one of her kidneys to her dad, Grant Woods, which is just a really cool story. I mean, Grant was, when he did that, when he was saying that, it just did choke me up. And he goes, any of you dads out there right now know exactly what I'm going through. He said, I'd rather take a kidney from anybody else in the world than my own daughter. But, you know, it's one of those stories that has come out good. There were lots of prayers said for Grant and Raleigh. They posted a picture yesterday afternoon, 20 hours ago, which had been about, I don't know, 12 o'clock our time, because he's in Central Standard Time, took place at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. And they're both out in recovery. And then he posted a picture this morning because of this one. He says, both Raleigh and Grant are in recovery and doing well. We want to thank you for all your prayers and support during this season of life. Raleigh will be heading back to college soon. Grant starts training for elk season tomorrow. God is great, has a good plan. So then you go today, and his post today, he's walking the hall. And it is, you know, hospital attired. He goes, elk training has started. So, but just a cool, I tell you, I had a hard time. I did. As a dad, I just had a hard time listening to it and reading it. And, but anyway, hey, he's back up. Told me, Tuesday morning, he said, get a hold of him in a couple of weeks and we'll schedule. I want to do some CWD coverage. Chronic wasting disease on whitetails, elk, mule deer. It's spreading. Grant stood up, I guess, last summer in Austin, Texas, and we were talking about at the National Deer Alliance conference we had, and he said, you know, at some point, I think every state in the union is going to have to deal with it. Every state has whitetail, or cervid populations. And so I want to get that, because not many people talk about CWD. Not many. There's a lot of guesswork and a lot of theories going around, and a lot of people, you know, we just don't know. So I talked to him about that, and we're going to do that. We're going to try to do both those radio segments when he was there before, but I just wasn't ready. I got a white paper on CWD I want to read before I talk to him, because I want to be able to converse with him on his level. He knows the stuff, let me tell you what. So, great one for Grant. Let's see. I want to do that now. Oh, well, I'll say that for later. Okay, Crab Bank. You know, last week I talked about the renourishment project for Crab Bank. Actually, I was out in a boat and ran by Crab Bank this week, and it is gone. There's a little green patch at the south end. Let's see, wait a minute. That'd be the west end, and a little patch on the east end of grass, what used to be. And it used to be the whole island was that way. And that's the first time I've seen Crab Bank in probably 5 or 6 years. And it is gone. So it's a needed renourishment project. I stopped in the Department of Natural Resources Wednesday morning in Columbia and was talking to Lauren about it a little bit. And then she said, you know, it's pretty scary to put together a coalition in July asking for $2 million by December. And it is. That's a lot of money to ask for in such a short time. But we'll see. There are a lot of conservation-minded companies here in South Carolina, organizations. And we'll follow that one and probably have somebody on to talk about it a little bit later on in the year. Because it's important. South Carolina is an important stop for nesting birds. You know, both migratory birds that come through on their flights around and for those summertime nesting birds, the brown pelicans, the terns, oyster catchers, that sort of thing. So what's good for those birds are always good for us. And one more piece. I think we got a time to get this in. If you tuned in to or tried to pull up Bassmaster on your computer the last couple of days and you were out of the loop or you didn't know, they postponed the Chesapeake tournament due to heavy rainfall, dangerous water conditions. In fact, they were having to open some floodgates in addition to the high tides because this is a full moon. So you have those big tides on a full moon. And so one of the anglers said, you're going to watch 4 to 6 pounds a day wind. So they're going to reschedule. Don't know when they're going to do it. But we'll keep you posted on when they reschedule that tournament. Have to be before September because that's when they got the Angle of the Year championships. They'll fit in here in the next few weeks, and we'll see who wins up on the Chesapeake. So with that, I think we're ready for a break. Hang on through the break. Come back. I have a calendar. I got a question to ask everybody. I want you to – you at least need to text me or call me or something. I got a question for you, so – hang on, back on the other side with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Doing it all for my baby. Good song. Good birthday week song. Thank you. Appreciate that, dude. Okay. I have a question. And it's to do with how the show is titled and some of the stuff I cover. The show is Woods and Water, South Carolina. Okay. That's somebody said, oh, you're limiting yourself to South Carolina. I said, well, South Carolina is where I live. It's where I've always lived. It's where I've done all my hunting and fishing. Well, I would say all of it. It's where I cut my teeth hunting and fishing. And it's where my family's lived for a couple of hundred years. Several hundred years, well, a couple hundred, between 200 and 300 years. So, you know, it is where I want to be. Up and before I got married, I wanted to be in Montana, but that changed, and I'm glad it did. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. But Woods and Water, South Carolina, I travel a good bit. I mean, if you tune in the show and listen for any length of time, I travel a good bit. I go to, you know, ICAST. That's because there's stuff there that will come here. I see people there that will be here. You know, I traveled some fishing tournaments to cover. Well, I'll be at the class, the Cup here in a couple of weeks to see how Brandon Cobb does in his fourth one. So when I go off in the National Deer Alliance, CWD, it's R3 Symposium, Lincoln, Nebraska. And you have to go to some of these places to get material, to make the contacts, to talk to the people, to bring it back here. So I can, you know, sound like I know what I'm talking about. But there's sometimes it's got nothing to do with South Carolina. And the reason I ask this is I've had a couple of comments, and they don't affect me. I'm going, and I don't know. But, you know, I'm headed to Alaska in a little while. And it's a daddy-daughter trip. I did this with my oldest daughter in 2011. Looked that up this morning just to make sure I had the year right, because years fly by these days. So Taylor and I head to Alaska. And my plan was, you know, to do some Facebook stuff live from Alaska. And I kind of wanted to do a show from up there, but it was just the mechanics of getting it all done was just tough. So I'm not going to be doing a live show from Alaska. But while I'm up there, I'm going to talk to some Alaska state troopers, you know, Alaska wildlife people, tourism people. You know, we run a motorhome. We go up there and just hop in the motorhome and drive, talk to them and bring some of that back here. But I've taken some grief because it's not South Carolina, you know. Does that matter to anybody? I mean, does nobody? Well, I know some of my friends that travel all the time to hunt, fish, hike, camp. I mean, Pam and Chad Holbrook just went to Yellowstone. They've been posting a whole bunch of pictures. A buddy of mine is going to Canada here shortly. Captain John Fuss in Charleston is going to Utah elk hunting. And I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination. Trust me. I mean, I played around with airline tickets to get the best deal I could. Discounts on the RV. You know, search an RV company to get a discount. And we don't eat out when we go up there either. Sandwiches for lunch, and we'll cook something at dinner, supper time. And an RV is the way to go in Alaska. I mean, it's your motor, it's your car rental, it's your lodging, it's your food. It can be the whole thing. But does anybody care about that? I mean, does anybody mind me? I'm going to do this. If you got a comment, if you want to hear about Alaska, and maybe it's on your bucket list, because I know it's on some people's bucket list. I talked to, Ryan Bass. He used to be with DNR over the NAS program. Is going to work for IBO. I mean, he's pretty much scheduled his trip exactly like I do mine. I think they're going next year. So anyway, I want to come back and do a show on Alaska and you know, do some Facebook Live stuff and stuff. I don't want to. Okay, it's 877-235-9405. It's the text line or the call line. I could care less which one you do. 877-235-9405. Text in and say, yeah, you know, do something on Alaska. Or if you've been somewhere, if you've been on a trip, you travel to go hiking, camping, hunting, fishing, whatever you like to do that's outdoors, you know, give me a call or text in or let me know. I kind of already know what I'm going to do with this, but I just like to know because I kind of assume people travel to do what they want to do. And we all go to the beach and we all go fishing. If you're a fisherman, if you go somewhere else, you're always hiking or camping or something. So anyway, that's my thing. Like I said, people, you catch grief over things you just don't think you normally would. Why are you going to Alaska? It's not South Carolina. I'm like, well, hey, it's just where I want to go. And this is a bucket list thing for my other daughter. Well, it's not. She wanted to go to Africa. This is Taylor now. So if any of you are listening to Taylor on the show, she wanted to go to Africa. Nah, no. She wants to kill something, mount it, bring it home. And it's just not in the budget. Trust me. So anyway, I'd like to know your thoughts. If you want to hear about Alaska, want to come back and have Taylor on here, and we'll talk about it and, you know, kind of tell you how to do it on the relative cheap and where to go and where to RV camp and some of the restaurants that we've eaten at before on the few times we've eaten out, some of the places to go see, you know, give me a text me, 877-235-9405, call in, I don't care. Go to Facebook and message me. Email is roger@woodsandwaterst.com. However, you want to let me know, and I'd appreciate the support. And then we'll go from there. Some kind of, speaking of Facebook, you know their stock is absolutely tanked. You wonder, there's a bunch of theories running around there about why. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, Facebook stock was now what? They're the first company to lose $100 billion or something like that in a single day on the stock market. So anyway, any fun stuff. The Department of Natural Resources lost an officer last week. And I've got it here. I looked at obituaries and that sort of thing. But it just nothing seemed to suit that. So I mentioned John earlier, Captain John Fuss in Charleston, was a good friend of Rhett Bickley's. And being a guide, he runs into those guys. And Rhett was on the dive team, so they ran each other on the water some. And John posted up this. He said, "Yesterday I got a phone call delivering some heavy news. A friend of many of ours had suddenly and unexpectedly left this earth. Rhett Bickley was a man who many, both young and old, looked up to. He was a game warden who understood fair and just overlook of our natural resources. He had a quick wit and sense of humor. We spent many evenings as well as midday lulls chatting about various worldly happenings. One thing he left me with in regards to life and our little boy, Sage Broward," and this is in quotes, he said, "at least once in the young fellow's life, he needs to run from a game warden." And I don't run from a game warden. I don't know about that or not. I guess if you have to run from a game warden, you're scared of what you did. Maybe you learned a lesson. I mean, the one time I kind of wanted to run from a game warden, I cried instead. I got a caller here. Mike from Spartanburg. Mike, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm good today. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes.
I had a few questions. Actually, I always have a whole bunch of questions, but I got a few questions for you.
Go ahead.
You going to Alaska? Are you going to be doing any hunting or fishing when you go?
Oh, fishing, yes.
Okay. Now, if you do you have to apply for? Do you have to apply for their fishing license?
Well, I mean, you have to get one.
You gotta pay for it, right?
Gotta
pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, you got a 1 day. I think it's a 1 day, a 7 day, a 10 day. If you're just flying in for a week or something, I think you get a 7 day fishing license. Covers the whole state. Now there is Alaska's kind of funny. They have ADGF, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, will put out releases governing certain seasons, like king salmon season. They may come out mid season and put out a directorate that says it's over. Limits is like this. When we go up there, I do check the ADGF website for updated fishing regulations or closures or something like that. But yeah, there's, man, and there's more water up there that you can shake a stick at. It is unreal.
Yeah. And if you plan to go,
there's two books. I joined Alaska Fishing Forums the first time I went up, and there were two books that were recommended to me. One's The Milepost. It's 500 or 600 pages. But what it does is all the paved roads, and they all got names like the Glen Highway, the Parks Highway, the Richardson Highway, the Seward Highway. And for every little thing on there that you can do, whether it's fishing, sightseeing, hiking, whatever, they go by milepost and they list everything you can do in Alaska on every road that you can travel.
Yeah.
And then grab a copy of The Highway Angler.
Right.
And between those two, man, you got it covered.
Well, will you be fishing competitively, or will you be fishing to be catching fish to eat, or
I'm going to fish competitive.
Are you going to throw them back in the water?
Well, some will go back. I can promise you that. I will. It's silver salmon. If we get into a good run of silver salmon, I believe you can still keep two a day per person. Then we'll come back from silver salmon. And I will be fishing against my 14-year-old daughter. So, all three.
Yeah, she will enjoy that.
Yeah, she will. She's looking forward to it.
Now, you know, the one thing everybody wants to know about Alaska, you got daylight and you got night. Does it stay nighttime for a long time and daylight for a long time? Is that right? Or are you going to be in the daylight or in the nighttime?
Yeah, I'll be in daylight. There's like 19 hours of sunlight in Alaska right now. It's insane. When you go to bed at night, you got to draw the curtains in the RV because it's still light out. You know, I think sunset's like 11:30 and sunrise is 4:30.
Yeah. So. You know, it's crazy, man. They have gardens up there and stuff and like watermelons. I've heard of watermelons growing to like 400 pounds.
Alaska's a place, let me tell you what. And there, you'll never see enough of it. You will never see enough of it. But yeah, the time I'm up there, you catch all five different kinds of salmon, rainbow trout, Dolly Varden, Arctic grayling. I mean, it's just wide open.
Dolly Varden is a fish?
Dolly Varden.
I apologize.
No, it's Dolly Varden. Yeah, no, Dolly Parton's not up there. I think she's still in Tennessee.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that people kind of get excited about, hey, is there going to be grizzly bears up there? Moose are dangerous too, so I guess you'll be prepared with your pepper spray.
That's right, yeah. Bear spray. See a lot of moose on the sides of the road, hope I never run into one in the woods. And last time I was there, and I gotta go after this one, Mike, thanks for the call, but got a heartbreak at the bottom of the hour. But I appreciate you calling in. But yeah, brown bears. We were on the Russian River and had brown bears 20 to 30 feet away from us eating sockeye salmon, fighting, playing in the river. And, hey, they're just there. You deal with them. You give them a wide berth, but, boy, they're fun to watch. And same, your backbone is kind of squirrely because you're wondering. And I'm a good chunk of meat. You know, hope they like the fish. So hang on. Thanks, Mike. Be back on the other side of more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
When you are done, lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Timing is everything. Gotta wait, gotta watch that one develop right there. Appreciate Mike's call. I got a couple of texts here. One says share. So, okay, there's another vote. Another texter says, somebody texted in and said, how do you go about finding the best flight? What companies do you recommend? I've heard of Frontier and other discount lines. What do you suggest? I've always used Delta. I mean, okay, I take that back. I used Eastern before it went out of business. In fact, Eastern left me hanging in the Chicago airport one time. It was like right there at the end. They were, you know, on the way out. I had booked a ticket. Nothing I could do about it. And I remember flying, getting to the airport, and she said, but they've canceled a bunch of flights. There's one flight leaving here. It's down that way. And I mean, it took me like a 15-minute sprint to get there. So ever since then, I've used, used Delta. I leveraged the points on an American Express card. I get a free buddy fare from, Delta every year to the lower 48. So this year's one kind of was a challenge because airlines are not cheap. But if there's one place that you're going to, if you don't spend the money, there's one place that's going to hurt you, and that's getting there and getting back. I was trying to look to see who flew into Anchorage, who flies in there. I know Delta does, of course, Alaska Airlines. And here's what I did. I'll tell you what we did this year. Alaska Airlines, Raven Airlines, let's see who else flies in there. EVA American flies in, Delta, Grant Aviation is a local, Sun Country is a local. Yeah, it looks like American, Delta, United, Alaska. I don't see the discount. There's Air Canada. Yeah, I don't see any of the real, and that would make sense. You're not going to have Sky Blue flying to Anchorage, Alaska. You know, they're those. Right. So here's what I had to do. Went on, and the tickets were, let's just say, twice what they were in 2011. So, and I swallowed my gum. You know, it's got like, oh, no, might not even get there this year. But having that free buddy fare through American Express to the lower 48, what I started doing was I just started in L.A. And I went from L.A. all the way up the West Coast over to Minnesota, because the first time we flew from, I think we were GSP to Minneapolis to Anchorage, looking for where I could fly on the West Coast for the cheapest, because I knew I could get there for one ticket, because of free buddy fare at lower 48. So flying into Seattle was the cheapest way, less than $500. So we're getting as far as Seattle, and then we have to go, of course, we'll pick up our bags, have to go back through, you know, customs or whatever, not customs, what am I thinking, TSA. And then the ticket from Anchorage, a ticket to Anchorage is only like $251. So, and I had enough Sky Miles for that. So essentially, you know, I'm doing it on the cheap, but I've got to make, you know, four trips through TSA or two going, two coming. The key to it is to start early. Going to Alaska is a commitment. In 2011, I actually booked the RV in 2010. They, ABC Motorhomes had a 50% off coupon, 50% off motorhome rental for the next year. So, yeah, I booked it a year ahead of time. It's just, it's a commitment. If you're going that far, you commit. But, yeah, one thing I wouldn't skimp on is my airline flights. And I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. But you start early. You start early, you know, 6, 8, 9 months ahead of time. That's what you do. You start looking. And then the same with the RVs. I mean, it was Mike's back. Same with the RV. You know, there's various discounts for early season. We always go shoulder season of August, the latter half of August. Check the bugs out. There are times in Alaska when the bugs will carry you off. Luckily, they're gone in the end. But yeah, that's the biggest thing I'd tell you is start early. You know, prepare early. You know, you got to watch the baggage fees. They add up. But yeah, all right, Mike. Mike's back. Mike must have another question. Mike, welcome back.
Hey, wow. I didn't know I'd get a second chance.
Go ahead.
Hey, you were talking about the two books that you recommended for Alaska.
Yes.
What about the two books that you might recommend for South Carolina? Because actually, I think a lot of South Carolinians don't even know what's offered.
Wow. Two books on South Carolina. There are so many books about South Carolina, but they're all, none of them are as general as that, because South Carolina is not a fishing destination like Alaska is. So you don't have a book like The Venturing Angler, The Highway Angler.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you don't have a book like The Milepost. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, there's good books on South Carolina turkey hunting. There, you know, Archibald Rutledge wrote a bunch of good books. I know books.
But you don't have one complied in one, then talk about different variety of things.
Not that I know of.
That's a project, brother, we could work on.
Well, there is a book idea sitting in my office right now. It's been sitting there for about 5 years on exactly this. A book, not necessarily about everything you can do, but something that you can do. I hesitate. If my brother's listening, he's gonna shoot me. Because it's a joint project that we've been talking about that would kind of outline what you're asking. I don't know if I want to go any further with that or not.
But then we can talk about it another day. I guess you can find out more, and then. But
yeah, I'll make myself a note right here.
Yeah.
South Carolina, or books on South Carolina. Like I said, I've got a whole, I'm sure I've got 15 or 20 books on my bookcase at home dealing with South Carolina. But they're more generalized. I mean, like saltwater fishing. There's a book out there, Southeastern Saltwater Fishing. But it covers from Virginia all the way around to, I want to say, Panhandle of Florida.
Right.
But it takes each state by state, and says, okay, if you're surf fishing here in South Carolina, then here are a few places to go. Here are the common rigs, you know, baits and stuff like that. And they keep updating that. But I'll do a segment on this coming up. I'll do some research into it. And good idea.
Yeah, you know the one thing that I think a lot of people think about hunting and fishing and all this used to be a way of life. Now people are discouraged because they think now it's hunting is a rich man's sport. It's not a poor man's sport anymore. So I would say that's the negative, because pretty much still is a poor man's sport, I would believe. Or do you got to pay for everything?
You know, what you just said about a lifestyle is exactly what came up in Lincoln, Nebraska. We had the R3 Symposium, recruitment, retention, reactivation of hunters, because hunter numbers are going down. We all know it. We've all seen it. And part of it's simply because there's not habitat. There's not the places, the access to go to hunt. It is a lifestyle, because if you're going to hunt, then you need to be a conservationist. It's a mindset. And it is, as much as I hate to say it, it is becoming, you know, you've got to have some expendable cash to act. Although I take that back, there is plenty of state land out there still. You know, back in the, 80s and 90s, when deer herds were exploding, I don't know if you witnessed this or not, but, you know, game management land, you didn't want to step foot on game management land. You might get shot. You know, I'm sure you've heard that before.
I've heard it.
Yeah, but I think at the same time that our numbers are dwindling, I think that public land, I think, probably has more opportunities now than it did back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, because you're talking about conservation, you're talking about they've gone in and replenished land, and so therefore the animals can thrive and survive better, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's... You know, Department of Natural Resources, U.S. Forest Service, what little game. They're heavily invested in conservation, because both of them, one of their mandates are conservation of natural resources. They just manage two different types of land.
And you was mentioning about hunting forests going down. Really, we don't need that, because hunting and stuff, that repopulates, as far as animals, it helps repopulate. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was we're coming on a break. I was trying to get a hold of my engineer just a second. What hunting is, and which I think what you're talking about, is it repopulates the population of hunters, and that funds conservation.
Right.
So yeah, you're right there. You're right there. But I'll Mike, great idea. I appreciate the calls, man. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Quickly, I got to take a break.
And even one more thing, even maybe produce a DVD with, you know, a lot of folk now, they don't necessarily read a lot. A lot of folk, they learn by audio or by seeing. That would be incredible. Also,
you know, as much as I hate to admit this one, I have a hard time sitting down and reading a book these days. So I'm in total agreement with you there. We're much more visually interested. Our attention span is longer when we're sitting in front of a animated object than a book. I agree with you there.
That's true. And I'll say this right here. They actually got one coming out. I think it's going to be a good one. Death to America by, I can't say a guy's name, Dinesh.
Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh D'Souza. Yep.
And he is incredible. He he does his history, he does his study. And I highly recommend that.
Very good, Mike. Hey, thanks for the call, buddy. Call me anytime. All right, we're going to take a break. Wayne, if you'll hang on through the break, we'll get to you as soon as we come back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Well, Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Let's go to Wayne from Moore, South Carolina. Wayne, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, Roger. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, sir. How are you today?
Roger, you need to make a trip driving out there instead of flying, buddy. It takes you about 5 days. Me and my wife made the trip all the way down to Old Mexico and all the way up to Whitefish, Montana.
Yeah.
Over to Seattle, back down to the Redwood Forest, through
Holy
Yellowstone,
smoke.
All up in that area. And there's just so many fishing places up in there, you would love to stop and fish.
Yeah. Yeah,
we was there in the winter, in October, in Whitefish. The guys were standing out on the bridge at the river fishing from the bridge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it don't bother them, you know, like us, but it didn't bother us anyway because it was nice.
Yeah.
But it's just, I want to go to Alaska. We drove over into Canada and made a trip through there and then come back in the United States. But one day I want to travel all the way to Alaska from here.
So you want to do the drive from here to Alaska then? You don't want to fly?
I'm not getting in no airplane, buddy. Not happening. I'm staying on the ground. I know cars will mess you up too, but them airplanes, they don't land. Don't land too good sometimes.
It's like I told my daughter, Taylor's never flown before, and if I had my thinking straight this summer, I'd have flown her to, you know, we'd have gone to Charleston and back or something. But it's like I told her, I said, other than the sudden start and the sudden stop, it's just a bus ride.
Yep.
You know, driving it though, that's, somebody told me, and I'm gonna do some checking into this, that you can, there's an RV manufacturer in either Michigan or Minnesota.
Yep.
And you can go, and you get the RV for free, but you have to drive it to Alaska, and you have like 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah, we was going 28 days.
Well, there you go. There you go. But yeah, they want them in Alaska, but it's cheaper for them to drive them up there than it is to ship them. And that you can drive one, and that'd be a trip. I don't know that I have enough memory cards for my camera for that trip.
My wife had a bunch, and she took a bunch of pictures. We got some beautiful pictures of the snow, and then just in Oregon, came up on a place with nothing but white sand on each side of the road, and just the rocks. I mean, man, people don't realize what's out there.
Oh, no.
They need to go one time.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you one other question.
Yes, sir.
A year ago on Father's Day, you played your brother's song about your grandfather.
Yes, sir.
And, man, that's my grandfather to the T. And I'm a mechanic. I've been a mechanic for 35 years.
Yes, sir.
That just got to me because what he done, your grandfather done for y'all about cars and tractors and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have a copy if your brother ever wanted to give one. Or I'll buy one from him because that is a beautiful song.
He's actually listening because when I was talking about the book idea, my phone started going nuts. And he was texting me. He said, don't say anymore.
Yeah, he don't want to give it away yet, does he?
No, it's a great idea. He and I are just so busy that we've done everything that we want to write about. It's just getting the time to write it down.
Like you say, when you go off there, brother, take time and do it and enjoy it.
That's right.
Not wait too late.
I've been in my parents early, and I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. They were both teachers for a few years at the same time, and we traveled in the summers. And we traveled, you know, in a station wagon. We ate a lot of meals in the station wagon. We didn't eat out much at all, but we saved, and that's where I got a love for traveling. And I got a huge head start, but right now I only lack Hawaii and Nevada.
Right.
And people don't understand. I mean, you know, I've got good friends that go to Europe and all. And that's fine if you want to go there. But there is so much to see right here in the United States. It is, you could spend a lifetime going one place every year and soaking up what our country has to offer. Whether it's just the scenery or, like you said, the fishing is all over. You can hunt. Public land out west is millions and millions and millions of acres. Trails for hiking, for mountain biking, camping in places that just take your breath away. And I've done a lot of it, and I hope I get a few more years to do some more of it.
Yes, sir. Roger, I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir, Mike. You
God
take care.
God bless you and be careful.
Okay, Wayne, take care. Thank you, sir. East Coast people, we see it. People that I talk to that live on the East Coast, they tend to, you know, their vacation plans take them to the ocean. And that's fine. There's the ocean's a great place to go. There's a world of learning out there. There's, you know, there's nothing like curling up underneath one of those umbrellas after you've gotten fried in the sun and you're reading a book and just watching the surf come in. There's just nothing like it. But there is, for a couple of days in the car to get there, or a day sometimes, if you're going out west, you're going to spend 2 days in the car before you get there. There's just a lot. There's just a world of the outdoors out there. And it's, I would love to recreate that trip, but we were going for, we left here one summer. We were living in Chester. We left Chester, went to Maine, across the Great Lakes, Dakotas, Oregon coast, down the Oregon coast, California, across Four Corners. Came on in home. I think mom washed clothes. The next morning we got out and went to Florida. And my beagle was still there. 30-something days later, my beagle Butch, he was in the yard waiting on us when we got there. We just left him there. I mean, neighbors came over and fed him, you know, but he just stayed right there at the house. Unreal. But there is a lot. And like I said, I ought to have Pam and Chad come on and talk about their Yellowstone trip, because they, man, they took some pictures and saw some things. It's just, there's a lot out there. So, okay. All right. Well, I guess I got a couple texts from people I know saying to share. So we'll, what's this? Oh, I won't read that one. Anyway. All right. So what have I got left here? I don't have long, about 5 minutes. Okay. Quickly. And thanks for the phone calls, the texts and all that. I appreciate it. I kind of have an idea based on some ratings from Nielsen, how many people are listening on any given Saturday. And it's nice to have a few of you pick up the phone and call. We'll do this a little bit more. I kind of hesitated because I've got so much information and guests you don't want to cut your guests off. Therefore you lose a lot of time when you know, half an hour with a single person. But I think what they had to say is important. If I'm going to ask them for their time, I'm going to give them all they need. And, but we'll do some more of this stuff. There's places to get you guys involved, and I appreciate it. Quickly, if you want to go trout fishing, DNR stocked 6,050 trout over the past week, east fork of the Chattooga River and the Chattooga River, Lake Hartwell Tailwaters, Little Canebrake, east fork of the Chattooga River and the Chaga. This Friday night, August the 3rd, the 2018 annual National Wild Turkey Federation banquet for the Spartanburg chapter is happening. It's at the lodge at Lake Bowen. Get a hold of the easiest way is to go through the NWTF website, look for events in your area, find a chapter. But this one's in for the Spartanburg chapter. It's come and join us for a night of fun, great food, games, raffles, live and silent auctions, youth prizes and fellowships, all while supporting the National Wild Turkey Federation. And then on the same night, the 6th annual Brandon Brody Memorial Celebration is taking place down at the Anderson Sports and Entertainment Center in Anderson. It's an evening in the swamp, because you got featuring Swamp People's RJ and J. Paul Molinari. You can have a low country boil, barbecue, live auction, and drawings. Tickets $25. And that's to support the Outdoor Dream Foundation. They work to take kids, what used to be National Warriors, now they've split it off, and it is the Outdoor Dream Foundation, based right there in Anderson. And they take terminally ill kids and kids who have had a rough time. They take them hunting, fishing, on trips of a lifetime and that sort of thing. So a good cause there. Let's see. I think I'm going to skip. I only got a couple minutes. Hey, somebody, see. How's the pricing for RVs? Is it less expensive than flying? Well, are you talking about driving an RV to Alaska? Or are you talking about flying an RV? Are you talking about getting an RV when you get there? One-way price. I think there are deals, if I'm not mistaken, in some of my searches, you can rent an RV in Seattle for maybe $50 a night and drive it north. I don't think there was when you take a one-way car rental, it's, you pay twice as much. But I think, it was like $49 a night for the RV rental, and it was a one-way from Seattle or something like that to Anchorage, Seattle to... I think Anchorage is really the only destination for RVs. I don't think there's much of that down around the southern part of Alaska, Ketchikan and all that. So that would, if you took 10 nights, you're looking at $500 plus gas and all that. If you're looking at flying to Alaska, you're looking at a full day and, you know, $800 a ticket at probably market price or what it was when I was looking at it. That's why I almost swallowed my tongue. $1,700, $1,800 to get there. That's more than it's costing me to be there for the whole week or 10 days or however long I'm going to be there. Gosh. Okay. Yeah, I talked about Officer Rhett Bickley that died in his house this week. I found an article that was written about the decline in South Carolina hunting, and he was quoted in here. Bringing youth back. Lifelong outdoors people like Rhett Bickley, a South Carolina Department of Natural Resources wildlife officer based in Charleston, began to notice a dip in participation a few years back. It just got to where for a number of years you didn't see any kids hunting. In response, DNR launched their TOMO program. Since then, the number of issued licenses, the only real measure that we have, appears to have stabilized in South Carolina. It's difficult to make a comparison, but about 200,000 hunting licenses have been sold year to year since 2014. It's not a huge uptick of interest. I don't know if there's a popularity or coolness quotient to it, Bickley said. But he said, if you wait until your child is old enough to hunt, you've already lost your kids to something else, he said. So that's a very true statement. And like I said, a lot of people are going to miss Officer Bickley. But, you know, somebody that spends their life dedicated to the outdoors like that, they've affected a lot of people that they don't even know. Okay, Gene Hill, remember when time was cheap? The songs we sang about told us that we had time on our hands, that time stood still, that tomorrow would be time enough. And now we find it was not. Suddenly times to come have become times past, and we must hoard it and spend it cautiously as the tag ends of a small inheritance. What is it? What is that? Which is what it really has been all along, except no one told us. Hey, get out there, take a camera and a back road. See you next week.